You know, I think it's really important that we help ourselves. I think it's equally as important that we help other people. And it's a balancing act. We constantly have to be looking both ways.
All right, you guys ready to roll? I'm ready. Episode 108 of Future Proof. Bill Sheridan here. Great to see you again. You guys are looking good in your sheltered-in-place domiciles. And if you're new to our dirty little guild here, then welcome. Anyway, how y'all doing? Hope you're doing well. I'm a little frazzled, I'll be honest. Today, my wife and I dropped our daughter, our dearest only child, off at college. She's a freshman, has never lived away from home before. Not that that bothers her. she's ready to get the hell out of Dodge, especially since she's been cooped up at home here with mom and dad since March. So she's out the door, man. She was like, see ya. And her mom and I are taking it a little harder than that. We're worried, you know? You know how parents get from time to time, meaning all the time. And the fact that she's doing all this in the middle of a pandemic just gives us that much more to worry about, you know? So it's going to be an interesting ride, no doubt. This week's show, by the way, is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors, including yours truly, and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So last week we had a great conversation about positivity with Gretchen Pisano. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, please do. Really, really good stuff there from Gretchen. Just left me feeling really good. And you know, while I was feeling good, I decided, let's see if I can feel even better. So I decided it was time to hear from Sebastian Terry. Now, Sebastian gave the closing keynote at a virtual conference that I attended earlier this summer, and his story is just so inspiring. I thought I needed to share it with you. The short version is this, and you'll hear a longer version here in just a couple of minutes, but about 11 years ago, when he was 24 years old, Sebastian lost a friend, and his friend's very sudden death really shook him to his core, to the point where he reevaluated his own life. And the question he asked himself was, am I happy? And his answer was no. So here's what he did. He started looking for a bit of happiness. And what he did was he wrote down a list of 100 things that he thought might make him happy, right? 100 things that he wanted to accomplish that he thought might bring him a sense of joy. You know, some of those things were pretty simple, like publish an article or grow a beard, plant a tree. Others on the list, decidedly harder, like save a life and deliver a baby and marry a stranger in Vegas. All of those, by the way, are things he's actually done, but as he started crossing things off his list, kind of an interesting thing happened. Other people, they got inspired by his example and started their own lists, and the ripple kind of spread around the world. He's written a book. He does keynotes at events worldwide. He's been interviewed for TV programs and documentaries. You can learn more about this movement at 100things.com. That's the number 100things.com. And suddenly that list, it became less about him and what he wanted to do and more about the difference he could make in other people's lives. And he wants to make this clear, okay? This list, it is not a bucket list. This isn't about, you know, getting stuff done before you die. It's about leading a purposeful and purpose-driven life. Here's what he says. This is from a TEDx talk that he gave in 2008.
Life is about choice. And I'm certain that we are entirely accountable for what we do in our lives. We are not in the passenger seat. We're in the driver's seat. And if I'm right, I could be wrong, but let's just entertain the idea that I might be right. Essentially, I'm saying you can do what you want. You just have to know what it is you're passionate about. And so the question, therefore, of course, is, well, what's on your list? Think about this professionally or personally, within the community. We're all so different. It's a relative concept. That's the beauty of it. could be something that scares you, could be something that comforts you, could be financially driven, emotional, physical. It doesn't actually matter. The only thing is that you know. And if you're sat there right now and you're hearing my question, which is what's on your list, and you know, fantastic. If not, why not? Why not?
And then he closed that talk with this.
What could I leave you with? Well, I could leave you with some kind of impassioned speech about passion. And, you know, hopefully there's a bit of that in there. But I'd love to just ask you one simple question. Just what's on your list? Think about it just for a quick second. Because I truly believe that if you give that proper consideration, it has the potential to change not just your life, but the lives of people you haven't even met yet. And I think that's an idea worth sharing.
And by the way, if you want to listen to that TEDx talk in its entirety, and you should, go to YouTube and search for 100 Things What's On Your List. So is this a future-ready message? I don't know. I think so. We're all so wrapped up in our little worlds that I'm not sure how many of us have asked those questions, right? Am I happy? Am I living a purposeful life? What's on my list, right? How can I help others? And I feel, you know, the closer we can get to answering some of those questions, the brighter the future is going to be for all of us. So anyway, that's just a long way of saying my guest this week is Sebastian Terry, and he's got a really, really inspiring message for all of us. Give it a listen, because I think it's important, and I think you'll enjoy it. Here is Sebastian Terry. Sebastian, thanks so much for being here. You know, like so many conversations, I guess my first question is, how are you? How are you doing with through all this chaos right now?
I'm great. Thank you for asking, by the way. Thank you for having me too. Yeah, I'm great. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I see that there's disruption, but equally, I don't feel like it's chaotic. It hasn't filtered into chaos into my life. So perhaps I'm fortunate in that sense, but I'm doing okay. And the people I know are doing okay also. Thankfully.
Healthy and everything's yeah. Well.
Yeah.
I don't imagine surviving a pandemic was one of the items on your list, but that's kind of where we're at right now, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, it's an interesting time for sure. Definitely. I mean, obviously we met during a virtual mm-hmm. conference because live events don't happen anymore. And, you know, as a keynote speaker, delivering a talk virtually is something that, you know, we're all kind of, you know, accepting, of course. And I think it's a wonderful mechanism to still connect. And I think that's a really important point that, you know, yes, the environment around us has changed and the dynamic on how we interact has changed virtual, you know, versus face-to-face. But, no, I still think there's certainly potential and opportunity to not only maintain connection, but build in ways that we weren't able to before.
Yep. I forget who it was that it said it, but I heard somebody say something recently to the effect of, we need to stop using the phrase social distancing and start saying physical distancing, because we need to be social more than ever right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, we need a little bit of physical distance while we're doing it, you know? So,
yeah. Yeah.
Give me a little bit of the origin story on 100 Things. How did this movement get started?
So 100 Things is essentially a community of people around the world who share their lists and goals together. And we facilitate and help that journey from creating a list to, you know, going forward and doing the list to then connecting and helping others. So that's 11 years in the making, mind you. So it all started with, a few things, but I lost a friend of mine about 12 years ago. And it made me reconsider my life. And I just realized I was unhappy and I wasn't living well. And I thought, well, this is an opportunity right now to change that. So I created a list of 100 things. And the criteria was just anything that went on the bit of paper just had to make me smile, because I just wanted to be happier, because I wasn't happy back then. So I dropped everything in my life to pursue this list. And so I started checking things off this list that were quite weird and abstract and bizarre, and some simple, some complex, some emotional and, you know, physical, whatever they were. And and then accidentally it resonated with a big sort of global audience and got turned into books. And, you know, like how we met, I do a lot of speaking around the world on happiness and purpose and connection and meaning and permission to live well, et cetera. And that's sort of fast forward to today, where it's not about just me anymore. It's a big community and that is wonderful.
That is wonderful. How many things, by the way, have you crossed off the list so far?
74 for my personal
74?
Life.
Okay. All right. What I mean, looking back, what do you think the most fulfilling one that you've accomplished at this point has been?
Well, it's interesting. I find that every goal, as long as it's meaningful and relevant to me, and, you know, I should go as far as saying to us and everyone who's watching or listening and thinking about their own list, every time you achieve something that's meaningful, it's incredibly important. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to sort of separate which one hits home more so than the others. As strange as it sounds, you know, skydiving naked at the time when I did it 10 years ago, something I always wanted to do, and I felt great doing it, forgetting the nudity or any of that stuff. Like, it was just something that I wanted to do. And I find that, again, if we're even personally, professionally, as a community or an industry, as a family or a friend, it goes on and on and on. We're doing things that are meaningful. Each and everything that we do is equally as important as the other. But certainly my journey started all sort of self-involved. I put myself at the middle and I said, right, what do I want to do for myself? Which is a little bit selfish, but equally I needed that. You know, I think, you know, the analogy I use a lot is when you get into a plane, they'll tell you in an emergency, put your oxygen mask on first, then help others. And that's kind of what happened. I put my mask on via my own list. And then the most profoundly changing one was, of course, helping somebody else for the first time. And, you know, that was probably the one thing that sticks with me, and it sort of shaped everything that's gone on from now. So, you know, I think it's really important that we help ourselves. I think it's equally as important that we help other people. And it's a balancing act. We constantly have to be looking both ways.
Were you expecting it to kind of go in that direction when you came up with that list? It seems like maybe the initial thing was, these are things that I want to do, not necessarily going out and helping others. Or was that part of it?
No, it was a complete accident. I mean, it's just the whole journey's been very organic, you know, everything until this very moment, you know. No, I did it for myself in the first place. I wanted to be happier. Retrospectively, I can say, you know, really confidently that what I've learned, or what I think I know, is you have to be happy. You have to be firing on your cylinders. You have to be living a life personally and professionally that's very much influenced by an understanding, a deep understanding of your values. Again, as an individual or a family or a business. And if you can act in line with your values, I think very naturally you come up with a list of meaningful things for yourself. By virtue of that, you just naturally become more helpful, supportive of others. And, you know, again, not to sort of double down on the point too much, but the first time I ever helped Mark was a quadriplegic who wanted to complete a half marathon, as you know, and he asked me to push him, and I pushed him. And I found at the end of that race that I wasn't the only one pushing him. Complete strangers were joining. And so I found that very naturally, innately, we're all wired to help each other out. We just need the opportunity. And you'd also hope that in business, it's the same thing. You know, we all do what we do, hopefully, professionally, so that we can be of service to others, whether, you know, you're an accountancy practice or, you know, a gym or, you know, whatever the business might be. It's all about service, whether, you know, to clients, to customers, etc. So, yeah, values, understanding values is the very first point I would suggest. And that beautiful journey, which for me was very organic, ends up being less about yourself and more about others.
It's amazing, really, how much you can accomplish when you stay focused on your values and your purpose, why you do stuff, right? Mm. Rather than what you do. It's really incredible. And I mean, you know, there's so much to be inspired by in this story. You know, for me, I think some of the things that resonate were these senses of gratitude, of connections, selflessness, you know, personal growth. What was it about this entire journey that resonated for you? I mean, thinking back on all you've accomplished right now, what kind of stands out for you?
Well, I think if I've understood your question, I think for me, I'll put it like this. Imagine being on your deathbed, looking back at your life and being lucky enough to have a moment where you get to reflect properly. And your thought in that moment is, oh, I wish I did that differently, you know? So that for me is kind of the standout piece. And, you know, ultimately, even though I'm somewhat, it's quite odd, I'm put on stages and I'm asked my opinion on things and I'm interviewed and I'm so grateful for all of these things. But why? Why? I'm just doing the things that I think are going to make me a better person. And surely that's what we should all be doing. So it's not a concept that's, it shouldn't be a concept that is foreign to us, you know, but we're not sort of told, I don't think, societally to give ourselves permission to consider that in the first place. You know, it took a loss in my life. And we hear that narrative very often that someone comes close to losing their own life or perhaps does lose someone close to them. And it's in those moments they allow themselves permission to consider right. that next thing. And yeah, that's what happened with me. And I suppose I'm realizing, you know, over the course that we're entirely accountable for what we do in our lives. And choice is such an incredible thing. The power of choice that we all have. People chose to listen to this today, which is great. Yeah. And there are others who chose not to, and that's fine. And I think in a similar way, we choose to be unhappy or we choose a path to happier times, choose to be successful or at least a path to success. We choose to be unsuccessful to a degree. And I think the one thing, you know, this being a virtual call, because of course we're in this time of isolation, or some of us are at least, LA is crazy. I feel that, yeah, our values don't change as people, even though the environment does. And so our goals and things we do day to day just change form to fit whatever the container is. And so this is just as powerful as a, you know, some kind of big panel discussion with a room of 1,000 people in my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you're right that of these ideas shouldn't be foreign to people, but I think they are to a lot of folks. It strikes me we're all capable of making a difference, of being happy at the same time. But so many of us, it seems like we're walking around on autopilot almost, you know? I mean, like no life, no gratitude, no worldview. How do we flip that switch? I mean, for you, it took a major life event with a yep. friend. How do the rest of us do that without anything as traumatic as that?
Well, you choose to. That's it. You know, I'm very fortunate, and as I'm sure you are too, and everyone listening, I get to meet some people who've done incredible things. And I always ask them, what was it that allowed you to do that? And not one of them say, because I was lucky or brave or special. They all say, I chose. Mm-hmm. I chose to give myself permission to consider. Then I took action. And if you want to boil that down into a simple form of, well, how do I start a list? To answer your question, you don't need to wait for someone to die next to you. Mm-hmm. You don't need to have a heart attack yourself and just survive that. What you need to do is give yourself permission to reflect on your life, knowing that you can't change it, but having an understanding is crucial to move forward. Are you living in a good way professionally, personally? Are you being the person? In fact, I do a lot of workshops around this, and like a eulogy, writing your eulogy as if today was your last day is a very powerful way of doing that. Then I think understanding your values and the things that you want to embody moving forward, whether that's adventure or financial security or, you know, health, wealth, spirituality, from understanding those values, I think you can then just start creating a list. So it's sort of, you know, permission is step one, reflection is step two, understanding your values is step three, and then step four is creating a list based on the previous three steps. And then, you know, you then have a list on a bit of paper in front of you. How does that turn into a reality? Well, I think there's another four steps. In my opinion, I think you choose one item. I think you create an action plan using a who, what, when. Who are the people that are involved? What are the things that actually need to get done? And then the when, which creates a timeline or the time frame. Can it be done today? Can you start today? All these kind of things. And when you consider that and you create your action plan, step three of that process is then just pulling the trigger, just doing it. Because a lot of people ask me, how did you get to do X, Y, or Z? And I just say, I tried. I thought about it and then I tried. And then as I, you know, you shoot this flare up into the sky, so to speak, as you embark on, you know, this one goal that you pulled the trigger on. And then I think, well, why wait? Just get stuck into the next thing. So I think it's a matter of shooting multiple flares for multiple important, relevant things in your life. And by doing so, you do end up creating a lifestyle and a way of being that encapsulates all the things that you deem as important. Again, whether it's in the workplace or whether it's at home.
That's an interesting concept. That, I mean, we talk about goals and setting goals and going out and trying to achieve them. And I think for most people, when they think of goals, what they're really thinking of is just an ambition, right? And I think goals are kind of two-headed monsters. There's the ambition, but then there's also the plan for achieving that ambition, right? You've got to have a plan, or the goal is just kind of a wish, isn't it? I mean,
It's interesting. Of course, an action plan is important for some things. I also feel that more importantly than knowing how things are going to work out is knowing why. Mm-hmm. If you truly, like, again, a question I get a lot is how do you maintain motivation even through times of uncertainty? Well, if in the first place you understand why you're doing what you're doing, family, as an example, is important to you. So on your list is to connect with your parents that you haven't connected with in far too long. If you understand that's really important to you, you naturally find the motivation and the path will naturally open up. So I think the understanding your why will lead to understanding a how. And you don't have to know everything before you, you know, pull that trigger and take the first step. Just go. Go for it and you'll work it out along the way. And I keep finding that, not to say that an action plan isn't important, because on occasions it's crucial, but the why is more, for me, the fundamental catalyst.
Mm-hmm. What kind of lessons have you learned along this path that have surprised you, things that the rest of us might be able to apply to, you know, to our journeys?
Well, I touched on it earlier, this idea of, we do things for ourselves. And I think if you look at the big picture, it's so that we can do things for others as well. You know, I think community is such an important thing. Again, you know, this podcast, for example, goes out to a financially leaning crowd professionally. Is that, I think, right?
Yes, absolutely.
That's right. Yep. And, you know, like, again, even within that community, if you allow people to understand what's really important to them and give them permission to just live a life professionally that allows them to be themselves and to use their skills and et cetera, within that ecosystem, suddenly people are all of the same mindset and they'll naturally start to connect. I just think community is so important, a connected community. I think community is defined by the idea of a group of people who share a belief, an interest, or even goal. So if you're able to create that community professionally, of course, personally as well, but it allows just much better connection and collaboration and essentially progress. That's an important one. Helping yourself is not selfish. It's crucial. Helping other people is, you know, it's fantastic, but make sure you don't forget about yourself in the process. Interestingly as well, I used to think that I have my list and wow, I went and did this thing or that thing, or I'm going to do this thing. And I don't think happiness comes down to that. I don't think we're defined by what we do. This is just kind of a broader point. And again, something retrospectively I think about, but I think ultimately my list is a vehicle for me to try and find out who I am. Mm-hmm. That's it. And I think it applies in every facet of your life. If we're able to just be ourselves in every aspect, you know, with a friend, a colleague, a client, a family member, a stranger, just being ourselves, that to me is living a life well. That's winning. And, you don't need to jump out of a plane with no clothes to do that. That's just a vehicle, you know, to essentially, so a list is an opportunity for us to express and to discover ourselves. And that's what it's all about. So, lists are very relative. They don't have to be they don't have to be world altering things. You don't have to find the cure to a disease. You don't have to summit Everest. You don't have to do anything. You could just call someone and say, I love you, or call someone and say, I'm sorry, or learn to yodel or whatever it might be. It's a relative concept. Why are we here at the end of the day? Very big question. I don't know the answer, but I do know that we all want to feel good. And if everyone felt good and we acted with passion, I mean, what a world that would be. Because I think passion inspires passion. If you're chasing a goal which you're super passionate about, you understand your why, and you follow that with conviction, not only do you become impassioned about doing it, but you inspire others. Yeah. It inspires passion in others. And again, it speaks to this notion of community, which again, during this time of COVID and isolation, values do not change. They just need to be remembered and molded into goals that can be affected now. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Look, I mean, so looking back, the guy you were, what was it, 11 years ago when this thing all started?
Yeah.
You know, before your friend died. Looking at that guy and who you are now, how do you think your worldview has kind of changed as a result of all this?
Oh, it's great. My worldview. Well, I know that people are good, 100%. People are good. There was a point when I was doing my list and I probably thought subconsciously, wow, how awesome am I? You know, but I delivered a baby. It was one item on my list. It was number 23. And it happened through it's a long story, but an invite through a lady in Canada. And I delivered her baby. And afterwards, I said to her, why did you help me? And she said, because we understand why you're doing what you're doing. We understand that your values, we know you're authentic. We know what you're trying to get to. So again, speaks to values, et cetera, et cetera. But what was interesting for me in that moment is I finally realized, oh, I'm only able to do this much stuff because of others. Yes, we're a spark. Of course, we're the spark for the first step. You understand what you want to do, and then you take that first step. But very quickly, people come around to support that. And again, community is such an important part of progress, individually and holistically. So yeah, I think really what I have understood is that we are super connected. We're so connected, and it's about living authentically. And if you're able to do that, you'll quickly grow that community around you. So I don't know. I think it's a point worth sharing. And yeah. I hope that makes sense.
No, it absolutely does. What's next on the list for you?
I've got my list next to me. It was done 10 years ago, 11 years ago. And so the remaining 26 items, some of them don't actually resonate with me as much anymore, because we change. And this is another good point, I hope. We change as people. Our values change over time. And so because our values change and lists are built upon an understanding of values, our lists and goals should change as well. So it's important to kind of renew your list every so often, whether it's every 6 months or every year, just have a look at it. Because, you know, I dare say there are people out there who achieve something that they've been trying to do for ages. They get there and they're underwhelmed with the experience when it happens. And I think on some occasions, at least, that's because they've achieved a goal which actually doesn't resonate with core value as it may have once upon a time. So I'm going through the remaining 26 items on my list to see which ones still resonate with me. So I'm changing a few. But next on there, if I'm looking, well, learn French. I'm trying to learn French. So I've started a French accountability group. So every week we have a French catch up. People all around the world beam in. It's amazing. And I'm on the Duolingo app and I'm trying to speak French as much as I can.
That's awesome. Well, Sebastian, I know you're busy. Thank you so much for the time, for the insights. Good luck with everything else that you're doing. And hopefully we'll catch up again sometime soon. This has been great. Thank you.
Thank you. And I really appreciate your time. And I hope you and all your loved ones are doing well.
So inspiring right there. That was Sebastian Terry, the driving force behind the 100 Things movement. If you want to learn more, go to 100things.com. You can check out his complete list. You can share what's on your list. You can subscribe to his podcast. You'll also find lots more great content by searching for 100 Things, What's on Your List on either YouTube or Amazon. And don't forget, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. And here we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. That's it for this week, folks. Have a great week. Talk to you again soon.